introducing that world-famous cat, Tom! And that magnificent mouse, Jerry!
Hey, got it, Tom and Jerry. I couldn't find anything with my name.
Tom, the cat, the wonderful, wonderful cat.
You're not here yet.
Believe.
Wait, you're not here yet.
Good God, don't you remember the show starts?
I don't remember the show at all.
Stop
Who
it.
Are you?
Get back into your room. Hit the beginning there, please, Andrew. Ursula, you say something.
That's the news.
Got it. There we go. I see you coming through the door.
It's just not going to be the right show if you don't start the way John has envisioned it.
That's the way that people are used to it. Hold on. Here comes Tommy now. Hey, Tom. Wrong button.
What the hell?
What the hell is going on? Andrew! What's wrong with the show? I'm coming downstairs. I hit the wrong button. Again.
It's not my job that you pressed the wrong one.
Okay, Bob's here.
Yes.
All right.
I think Via Doom refers to us in this show, not the traffic.
Wizards. You know what's even worse than this? We have to have Sully on now.
And we thought it couldn't get any worse.
All right. By the way, yesterday, Sully spent 14 minutes saying nothing was happening. Go ahead.
Gonna do it again.
No. Then we're not doing this. We're not gonna keep coming to you for you to say there's nothing happening.
No, what I said yesterday is I explained what happened. And today we're going to explain what happened again and what we are seeing in terms of our travel patterns. Because our listeners need to know.
Okay.
The most important thing is to stick with what you're doing. We saw the kind of a mirror image of today from yesterday today. We saw the commute on I-5 start because of the Alaskan Way Viaduct closure at about 5:30. And it hasn't relented. One of the big issues today, at one point, Federal Way to Seattle ballooned to an hour and a half, and I was thinking, oh no, okay, here we go, everyone's kind of come back. That was the result of four stalls we had on I-5 along the way that just kind of backed up, took us a little while to chew out of that. And so we've been, you know, hovering at about an hour from Federal Way to Seattle most of the morning once we got through that. But 45 to 50 of those minutes have been from South Center on in. So that's been a slow go. The West Seattle Bridge started getting really slow at about 6 o'clock. Saw that yesterday as well, about an hour and 15 minutes earlier than normal. Yesterday, it cleared up by 8 a.m. Today, it is still slow at this point, so it's been kind of a longer drive there. We have continued to see diversion to 167 and to 405, as a lot of people have avoided I-5 entirely heading over. In fact, we're still seeing elevated travel times on the 405 drive. One thing I did notice today is, and again, I don't want to give anybody ideas, but southbound 99 was free and clear all the way down through South Lake Union, all the way to Western, through the Battery Street Tunnel. Not that I want everybody to go and try that route tomorrow, because that'll just back things up. It can't handle the capacity. But that was open today, again, for people who could drive all the way down to the closure and then peel off at Western through downtown. That was a viable option again today, but if everybody starts doing that, that'll really cause us some issues.
So have people altered when they get in their car? Are they driving at a different time?
Yes, they are certainly driving a lot.
Earlier.
There are a lot more people. Tom could probably talk about what he's seeing in transit. I mean, are there more people on your bus? Have you noticed much from the north end?
Yeah, so far I've been taking Lyft in rather than taking the Metro.
Well, that doesn't help me at all. Explain what's going on with the 70.
On the way back, I take the bus home because it's less crowded, but my knee is still such that I can't
sit
in a crowded bus. So,
So more people are using transit. People are still running into issues of, I want to use transit, but when I get to the spot, there's no parking, so people are heading out there earlier. So what we've seen is for 2 days in a row, people have kind of minded their P's and Q's, stuck with their plan. We need to stick with that because the rain might start coming a little bit later in the week. Forecast has eased a little bit.
Okay.
And I don't want everybody to go back to their regular routine, and then we'll end up with a terrible commute at some point.
So it makes sense the morning commute starts a little earlier.
Correct.
Does the afternoon commute start a little earlier?
A little bit, but yesterday afternoon as I was monitoring home, looked lighter than normal, too. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, it looks like everyone has gotten the message. They're sticking with the plan, and as the mayor said in Ursula's newscast, that's got to be the key. We got to stick with our plan. Don't be fooled that this is the way it's going to be, and it's lighter than normal. Because, at 9:15 almost in the morning, we're still looking at a 15, 20-minute delay on I-5 northbound into the heart of the city.
Okay.
We can't handle more people
doing
what they used to do.
Are you coming back again in 3 minutes?
Yes, I am, because I've got something non-viaduct related. We got a huge issue on I-5 we've got to talk about northbound. For a crash that I'll talk about in traffic.
hold on. So, should I play the music? Get out of here.
We'll play.
Scott in.
Yes. We'll play Soli's music, and then we'll hear the traffic pump. Sophie will explain what's going on in the roads.
And
right
then we
now.
Can play what Felix said yesterday about you might as well stick around. You're already here till 13.
All right, Sully.
I'm doing what I'm told.
I know. I'm just trying to keep the show moving.
Why'd you come back then?
Oh, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to give you $20 a week for 5 years. There's $20.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Shut up. Get out. All right, now, who's coming back?
Me.
Sheep.
Go ahead. And while I've kind of spent a lot of time talking about the viaduct, I'm going to go to the major issue that's actually that we need to deal with right now, which is the northbound I-5 drive.
Sorry, go ahead.
Wow.
That was my mistake.
I'm back in again. Is northbound I-5. We have an overturned truck that looked like it was carrying bark dust or something. It flipped over on I-5 northbound right at Northgate, and its debris is all over the road. Only the far left shoulder is getting by for I-5 northbound drivers. This looks like a long-term situation for cleanup and moving that. So avoid I-5 northbound getting out of downtown Seattle at this point, and then continue to stick with the slowing we see on the viaduct on I-5 northbound and on the West Seattle Bridge and on 405. They're still dealing with some issues.
Mm-hmm.
And this report is brought to you by Bell Red Energy Solutions. Cold weather has us all bundled up, but have you bundled up your pipes? Cold weather can cause frozen and broken pipes. If you need help fast, call Bell Red Energy Solutions, your plumbing experts. BellRed.com.
All right, here we go. Now we're on track. Thank you, Sally. Yeah. Right. Hey, good. More traffic talk.
Yeah, right? Why didn't you just stay? Hang out, man.
Hannah, you got a chance to talk to Mike O'Brien because he wants to put some cameras in some intersections.
He does, right? So this is going to be specific to the issues of cars blocking transit-only lanes, bus-only lanes, or blocking the box. That's, of course, when cars pull in the intersection and get stuck there. He says the problem has been...
Enforcement is a real challenge, and it's... Frankly, it's not realistic to hire police officers to be at every single intersection and every single bus lane during rush hour policing this. They have more urgent things to do their work on.
So he wants to add these cameras to bust the bus lane cheaters and to block the boxers. And he thinks it would change driver behavior to help stop those violations and keep the traffic moving. So he plans to ask the legislature to okay the cameras.
If we had the authority to have a camera there, and do camera enforcement and let everyone know, you know, there'd be warning periods and all that type of stuff, but say, look, you know, effectively there is a police officer every single day. So just don't do it ever. Behavior we believe would change pretty rapidly. You know, that's what we need. And, you know, it's not about raising revenue, but it is about punishing the type of behavior that we don't want people to do.
But obviously it would raise revenue. So I asked him what would happen with that money.
And I'm open for them to tell us how we have to spend whatever money we raise, you know, does it go toward more bus service or making the sidewalk safer or whatever it is, you know. But it's just the tool, the enforcement tool is what we really need so that, you know, we could get, you know, 10% more efficiency in our system or something if we just didn't have these blockages happening.
So the Seattle Transportation Department is going to detail exactly how bad this problem is at this afternoon's Transportation Committee meeting, and then the city is going to ask the legislature for the okay. Again, by the way, this has been brought up in Olympia the past couple of sessions, and It hasn't gotten anywhere, but O'Brien thinks they've got a better shot this time around.
Okay. But round the horn, you okay with this, Tom? You don't really care. You're not.
I think it's a great idea because
buses
when you
included.
Block the box,
buses included.
Yes.
In it.
Yeah.
So the ticket goes to the bus.
No. This is all about targeting cars. This targets cars that drive in transit.
I understand
bus
how it works.
Only lanes.
Right, but
buses
also,
don't get tickets.
No, block the box.
No.
Buses will not be.
He can answer that.
Okay, those are the big articulated buses that block the box all the time.
Yeah, they are one of the biggest violators of blocking the box.
Oh.
But sometimes it's because cars block it in front of them and they've got a schedule to keep. I talked to SPD last week and they do not ticket buses. And
they won't ticket the buses.
No, they will not, even if they block the box. One thing that should be involved in this also, they should start ticketing jaywalkers again because jaywalkers are pedestrians are a huge problem to our inability to people to take turns when they cross after the light or when it starts flashing, which prevents people from turning.
Yeah.
So if they're going to red light cars, they better red light buses and pedestrians at least to make it fair because we all contribute.
Shouldn't they just change those intersections so that when it turns, all go all directions?
I brought that up.
That's the way it works, right?
I brought that up to SPD last week, and they've implemented that in several locations. I said just do it in every intersection downtown to give so pedestrians have their own signal.
Yeah,
so everybody
you need
gets
a pedestrian signal.
Right, a Denver stop is what you call it. For every direction, including pedestrians, they all get their own signal.
Right.
That would be fabulous.
Yes, because you can't make that right-hand turn because people are just sort of barely ambulating along the road. Yeah, okay.
And you miss it. Something else, though, and this one's for you, Sully. I asked him about another way that they might want to keep traffic moving, congestion pricing.
But the reality with current legislation is that we would have to design a plan that we think the public thinks is a good idea and go test it with the public and let them vote on it and they can decide up or down. And so that seems pretty fair to me.
So he supports it, but that one would have to come to a public vote, not the other one.
And this thing, even his legislation proposal, is just a pilot project.
Yeah.
So we can actually, he figures he gets four major intersections and then we'll test it out. So that would be a good, it seems to me a good practice. I don't know what kind of resistance there would be in a legislature. Just try this out. And if it turns out not to do any, it doesn't affect the efficiency of the traffic, then there's no point in doing it.
And I think the issue ends up being in the legislature. The pushback has been because it's a local control kind of issue, I think, is what ends up coming up. But
that's on the congestion pricing, or is that
the cameras. We'll see. Another thing I want to point out, I did ask if you remember in the recent budget session, they have the red light cameras that collect money, right? It was supposed to have dedicated money that goes for these safer sidewalks. Sally Bagshaw in the last budget session, she took that and we put it in the general fund in an emergency move.
Uh-oh.
So I was like, how are we going to make sure that this money, it's dedicated to this, isn't going to get, that's not going to happen to it? And he said he would absolutely lobby against that, as he had with Sally Bagshaw's proposal, which he intends to reverse later on this year.
Okay.
And as he points out, he doesn't care what the money
goes and
to.
He really doesn't. He wants to keep traffic moving.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Has everybody had their say?
I think I'm good.
You're a little rusty, John.
It's not me. It's just I got all these moving parts, Tom. I go away and glad to see nothing's changed. All right. By the way, while in the Canary Islands, on that horrible
How
vacation,
are things on the Canary Islands,
you know, they
by the
this,
way?
I forget what road. I would Tenerife or something. We're on the cruise bus, the big tour bus. And the guy goes, oh, slow down, slow down, slow down. There's a speed camera. They have speed cameras that give you tickets. So you're driving down the highway, and then just bang, the camera takes a picture for speed. Not for violations of stopping at the right turn kind of
stuff that they
have at the Lynwood Convention Center. That one's the biggest ripoff in the world.
They have those in the States as well.
Speed cameras.
Yeah. Yeah, in some locations where they just plop them in the middle of a freeway.
Wow.
That, again, would need legislative approval for, obviously, an expansion to that. But those are here in the U.S.
Well, I'm against
places.
That. I'm against that. Okay, attorney.
How about in the Canary Islands? Are you against it?
I didn't care. I'm just sitting in the back of the bus wishing I had a stroke. Attorney General, it was terrible.
Yeah.
I will never, ever. You weren't here yesterday. I will never take another vacation again.
No, but you said that.
I know
the
I
last
did.
Time.
Last time, but I'm never going to do it again.
That's twice. Third time's the charm.
Here we go. Attorney General nominee promises to allow Mueller to continue with his witch hunt. And let's see. This is Bill Barr. Here you go. He says,
first, I believe it is vitally important that the special counsel be allowed to complete his investigation. I have known Bob Mueller for 30 years. We worked closely together throughout my previous tenure at the Department of Justice. We've been friends since, and I have the utmost respect for Bob and his distinguished record of public service. And when he was named special counsel, I said his selection was good news, and that knowing him, I had confidence he would handle the matter properly. And I still have that confidence today.
That's the biggest concern that they had, you know, if you get, because didn't they found some things where he said, Bill Barr said a few things that might have given some indication that he would stop the Mueller investigation.
Yes, he said the Mueller investigation was off its rocker if it thought that the firing of James Comey could be seen as obstruction of justice.
Right.
And that put, and he did this, he wasn't contacted, he just did this of his own free will, just contacting them. This is not long before, Trump had tagged him. And so they said, what are you talking about? Why couldn't it be obstruction of justice? And so he's kind of backwalked that a bit by saying, well, I'm not saying that the president could never be accused of obstruction of justice, but it just seems to me firing the FBI guy didn't seem to meet the standards.
Right.
The problem is, if he's in doing, he does admit now that he says, if a guy is investigating you and you fire the guy who's investigating you, he says, I do understand that there could be you know, situations in which that might be seen. But
it looks bad. But constitutionally, the president can fire whoever he wants.
Well, that's what he said. Yeah. He has a sense of a strong executive power.
Right.
And that's what makes people a little leery. Why, as he was asked by one of the Democratic senators, was that basically that memo an audition for a job for the Trump administration? And he said, absolutely not.
He says he believes it's necessary for Mueller to complete. Okay, got that. While taking questions from Senator Graham, asked whether it's a witch hunt.
You say you've known Mueller a long time. Would you say you have a close relationship with Mr. Mueller?
I would say we were good friends.
Would you say that you understand him to be a fair-minded person?
Absolutely.
Do you trust him to be fair to the president and the country as a whole?
Yes.
When his report comes to you, will you share it with us as much as possible?
Consistent with the regulations and the law, yes.
Do you believe Mr. Mueller would be involved in a witch hunt against anybody?
I don't believe Mr. Mueller would be involved in a witch hunt.
Okay, finally, her opening statement. Dianne Feinstein raised concerns about Mueller's memo. Do we care about this? 26 seconds, yes or no?
This is the biggest
look at the time.
Democratic objection. We have 5 seconds.
Your memo also shows.
That's all we got time for. No. Here we go.
A large sweeping view of presidential authority.
Yes.
And a determined effort, I thought, to undermine Bob Mueller, even though you state you have been friends and are in the dark about many of the facts of the investigation. So it does raise questions about your willingness to reach conclusions before knowing the facts.
Okay. Come right back. 214 people a year do this on cruise ships. I felt like doing it. We'll be right back. Laura. Laura's Home Loans. Don't forget to get in touch with Laura. Last name is Keel, by the way. Oh, Laura Keel. I know Keel. I've gotten two mortgages from Keel. Thanks, Laura Keel. Ask Laura, 833, ask Laura for Laura's Home Loans. Great organization, great people working with her. If you're in the market for a mortgage, get one now. Prices are coming down. Or maybe take some money out of that house and refinance, put yourself a new bathroom in there. All right. You can write to us at MyNorthwest.com. You can also text at Online Trading Academy at 98973. Sully's still sticking around. Do I have to come to him at a certain point?
On the threes.
On the threes. Okay, 43. Okay, I got plenty of time. Some quick math in my head there, Tom.
That's 35. There's a 3, 36, 37. There's a 3 there.
Feels that way, doesn't it? All right. So the story goes that about 200 and some people fall off of cruise ships every single year. In 2018, at the beginning of 2018, within the first 3 months, 15 people fell off of a cruise ship, go into the water. Very few people survive once they fall. And the question that came up in this very long article was, why do people fall off of ships and is there any way to stop this from happening? And I say, fall? Define fall. How many people jump from the cruise ship? Because they say some of it could be suicide. Yes. Some of it could be just people realizing, crap, I do not want to be on this cruise ship anymore. No. I was thinking carefully about it.
Okay, so about 1.5 people fall or jump to their death a month, which that seems like a lot, but they say compared to the hundreds of thousands of people that ride cruise ships, they say you're safer on the water than you are on land for all these other reasons. So we're not talking about the number of people as being so shockingly high, we must stop this. However, it's consistent, and because of that, it seems like if there's a consistency to these numbers, there should be a way to maybe lower those numbers as is.
Well, here's a story from CBS4. Okay. Now, this is last year, a guy that works for a Norwegian, he ends up falling off.
About half an hour after passengers aboard the Norwegian getaway cruise ship docked in Miami, the U.S. Coast Guard getting word that a crew member who went overboard Saturday afternoon northwest of Cuba had been found alive and well out in the ocean waters by another cruise ship.
The Carnival Glory had found someone in the water waving their arms, and they rescued him.
And put him to work right away.
He was the missing Norwegian getaway crew member. That was roughly about 21 miles north of Cuba.
The U.S. Coast Guard says it received a report Saturday around 3:20 p.m. that a 33-year-old Filipino crew member went overboard.
Well, imagine that, a Filipino crew member.
What's that supposed to mean?
Tom, you got to be on a cruise. Everybody there is Filipino.
Is that right?
Oh, my God. Sweetest people in the world. I felt so sorry for them. People were treating them like crap. But, yeah, okay. Some of the nicest people. And they can fold towels into all sorts of different animals.
28 miles north.
I don't know if that is, like, just something that is about Filipino people. But I'll tell you, it was really something to look forward to every night.
West of Cuba. Passengers aboard the Norwegian getaway.
Oh, you got the general idea.
So the question is, there are suicides. If somebody wants to kill themselves that way, that's probably not preventable. Mm-hmm. However, they think that a lot of them, they don't have exact numbers, though, because they never retrieve these people usually. A lot of them are just drunk.
Yes.
And I can imagine if you are trapped on a boat or, you know, get to luxuriate on a boat where you drink nonstop if you want to, right? Yes. There's no restrictions. They profile this 33-year-old woman, mother of two and all this, who had 19 drinks.
Yes.
And then was sitting on the edge of the, and they know this through a thermal observatory, you know, issue, that she just fell off and died. And so they said that they assumed that she was just too drunk to keep her balance and do these risky things. So then the question is, we have laws in this state to prevent things like that, mm-hmm. or to try to discourage bartenders. For instance, if I'm the bartender who gives you the drink right before you go out and get a DUI or kill somebody on the road, you can be prosecutable. That's not the case on the cruise ship. The cruise ship, basically, right now, they're carte blanche to do whatever they want. You know, it's up to the responsibilities. They have everyone sign on. You're responsible for your own possessions. You're responsible for all these kinds of things. And so they say maybe what we ought to do, although there's resistance from the cruise ship industry, that we ought to, you know, start cracking down on cruise ships, saying we need to have certain policies in, you know, sort of a...
What, regarding the consumption of alcohol?
Yes, or the weight. So why do you shake your head?
Because they charge you $1,100 for alcohol, and it works out to be 15 drinks a day. That's what it is.
Okay, start right there.
So it's 170 some bucks you got to eat a drink a day in order for a 10-day cruise. So I looked at those numbers and said, I could never do that. I'm a two Miller Lite guy.
Yeah,
all right, that's it. Oh, spread out over 4 hours. Because normally I'm so high from pot, I don't even taste the beer. But in this case,
maybe you can get drinks or pot. And
I didn't bring any with me because I kept thinking about, you know, that, what was that movie?
Yeah, in the Turkish prisons.
Yeah.
So, Midnight Express.
Right. So I'd end up there, which, by the way, would have been a break from the cruise.
Oh, my God.
All right, anyway. No, so I just looked at the numbers and I said there's no pot. But I saw people completely schnockered.
I know. And see, so don't you think that the cruise industry should take some responsibility for this and say, okay, no, we are not making you pay for this. If you want to have alcohol, you pay for, you know, you get one drink in the
morning.
That's
why people love it.
Guess
how much they charge me for one beer? One Miller Lite.
$19.
No, $9.
$9, yeah.
$9 plus a 20% gratuity. Really? Yeah. Thanks. I owe you 20% on $9 for taking the top off.
Well, wait a minute. So I thought you said it was all expenses
that's if
included.
Because you can do it. You can say, hey,
I see.
I'll take. Plus, they said, would you like the additional $1,000 to drink as much as you want to drink?
Yeah.
I said no to that. So then I had to pay on an individual basis.
Okay.
So that's how that works.
Okay. The thing is that I think that it does seem to make sense. At least that's the thrust of this article, mm-hmm. is that there should be some responsibility on the part of the cruise ship industry to say, yes, we are responsible for people, but they say, look, at every time you get in a plane, what do? They go through, in case of a water landing, you know, or a crash, in case of this, they drill that into you. They don't do that as much with the cruise industry. They don't have strict laws because we realize if it's foreseeable, this danger, then they are even more liable, and so they resist it altogether. Having been on one, do you think there's any way to prevent people from getting too drunk?
Well, you can. The drinking, you put that aside, but they could put the technology in, which is an infrared camera would see you go over, and as soon as you go over, it immediately sends a signal,
bing,
and then the ship stops. And they can find you with the camera, but your survival time is for only a couple of minutes, whatever, if the fall doesn't kill you.
Yeah.
But they say that some of them don't want to put these cameras in place. The technology is available because there's a lot of negative or false positives, right? Two out of a certain number of month would go off and the ship would have to stop and then look ahead and look for the person.
And the suggestion from this article in Quartz is that the cruise industry is so concentrating on profits that they don't want the publicity that comes with this kind of a thermal imaging business. Now, they say the technology, they are not against the technology. It's just not not specific enough, not accurate enough to make to justify the interruption of everyone's cruise.
And I didn't realize this, but we have a sponsor that's a cruise sponsor.
We do.
Yes.
Not anymore, we don't.
No, not well, us. Okay. It's on Dory's show.
Okay.
But I say this, for people that like it, cruising, I'm sure it's great. But it's just not for me, but for other people that enjoyed it. But I ended up participating in everything because everybody was so old and so foreign that they couldn't get anybody to participate in any of the contests. So let me tell you what I won in. You ready? I won number one in the dance contest. I won number one in karaoke. I was the best hypnotized subject during the hypnotist show.
Oh, you did
show.
That?
Yes.
Okay.
Plus, I also won in the talent show by eating a cracker off my face. Well, I got three T-shirts that say, don't be afraid to call me champ.
Well, that third option I want to hear more about.
What's that?
I already forgot.
Okay, nothing cuter than a kid talking to Alexa. We'll take care of that. Plus, also a story Tom did not read, but I found. I didn't have a chance to give it to Jacob, and I'll share it with you. A mom sends out a message to all her neighbors. Hey, my 9-year-old can do chores. In 20 minutes, you won't believe what happens. Right back.
Great.
Here we go. Welcome back, Tom and Curly Show. Both of us are here. I think tomorrow Tom, you here tomorrow? No, you're not here tomorrow. I'm not either. Online Trading Academy 989-7398.
We're here for every day for the rest of the year.
I've never taken another day off. Quick story that I saw this. I just sent it to Tom during the commercial break. A woman says she's got three kids, right? It's like 6, 8, and 9 or something like that. She sends a little message out on the neighborhood website saying, hey, my 9-year-old can do chores, be a mommy's helper around your house, looking to make a little extra cash. Basically, that's what she says, right? Mm-hmm. And then what happens, Tom?
The cops are called.
Sure.
The cops show up, at least, and they assume that someone in the neighborhood was concerned that she was using her child as, like, slave labor, in effect. And
right.
So and the only reason the story is being told is because this woman whose child she was farming out, so to speak, wrote to this columnist and said, can you believe this reaction? And I think this is I agree with the mom in this case. I think we did this I had two daughters and they were, you know, really successful in the babysitting business in our block. And it was just sort of seemed like the natural thing to do. Well, so my second daughter was younger, wasn't old enough to actually do babysitting at the time, but she and a friend said, hey, you know, we can be like mommy's helper types or something. And they did it occasionally, not a lot. And there was no kind of slave labor notion to it, but it does raise a specter, I suppose. But it's like, yeah, we need to loosen up a bit. We need to be... Child endangerment is a serious thing.
No.
This is not child endangerment.
Absolutely. And the fact that a number of neighbors called the police, so they had to go for a personal safety check. The guy says, I'm sure this is not the case, but I just have to... The sheriff kind of apologized for having to be there. And the woman points out, as she points to the gal that runs Free Range Kids, that
right,
website.
Yes.
Yeah, Lenora Skinansky or something like that. That what does the world come to if the kid can't make a little extra money?
Yeah.
And keep the kids inside, let them play with Alexa, because there's nothing cuter than a little girl talking to Alexa, trying to get Alexa to play Baby Shark.
Alexa, play Baby Shark.
Baby Shark is a really annoying song that is now quite popular.
Baby Chair. Explicit isn't included with Prime, but is available
Alexa.
With Amazon
Alexa, play Baby Shark.
Sure, baby, hold back by Say Anything on Amazon Music.
Alexa!
The kids start shaking their head. That's not it.
Play Baby Shark.
Play Baby Shark. That's Baby Shark by Pink Floyd, starting now on Amazon Music.
Kids very cute. How about the one wanting to play Old MacDonald?
Yasha, stop! Yasha, stop!
Alexa, stop!
MacDonald! Yasha, stop MacDonald!
Alexa, play Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
Old MacDonald Had a Farm by and Company. Bob, David, Louise from Prime Music.
And then the two girls talking to Alexa.
What do you want to listen to? Kids Bop 38?
No.
Oh.
Just pick me in the middle song.
Oh, okay. Say, Alexa, play.
Alexa, play, speak me in the middle song.
I can't find the song Speak Me in the Middle.
And it starts to cry.
The thing is, this reminds me, I forget, parents have to translate. We understand our own kids because we deal with them all the time, but when they're out in public, no one can understand them. Alexa is like someone out in public.
Kelly, give me a gravity thing. Kelly, give me a gravity thing.
What you do?
I have time for a tease. Let's see what's coming up next.
I took that.
I got 10 seconds to get people to keep listening.
Bye-ya, doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. Bye-ya, doot-doot-doot-doot-doot.